Since the beginning of time, marriage has been the foundation of society. And one of the secrets of success in marriage is you don't have to marry the perfect person who's just like you.
Yeah, you see, God has created each of us with a unique set of strengths that when celebrated, rather than stifled, can unlock the true potential of your marriage. In strengths-based marriage, we've drawn from more than 50 years of research from the Gallup Institute, combined with over 35 years of experience in marriage counseling, to develop an incredibly exciting resource that can literally revolutionize your relationship and prepare you for a lifetime of passion and intimacy. And we can't wait to share it with
you.
That's
right. When you learn to recognize and focus on the strengths of your spouse, you'll be able to celebrate what's right about them and value their God-given differences, not resent them. Mm. So join us on this journey to explore how implementing a strengths-based marriage can bring you closer together than ever before with your spouse.
Dr. Donald O. Clifton was a forerunner in positive psychology. Through his research, he identified 34 universal strengths that exist within each individual. Working with Gallup, he developed the Strengths Finder Assessment, which reveals how our unique order of strengths affect the way we engage with the world around us, influencing our thoughts, feelings, and behavior. Thousands of businesses, teams, and churches have harnessed this strengths-based approach to interacting, resulting in stronger relationships and greater performance. So what happens when you apply these same ideas to your own personal relationships, or even your marriage? On this journey, you will discover how to thrive in your strengths, recognize the positive traits in your partner, and develop your own strengths-based marriage.
One of the biggest issues in marriage, in any relationship, is communication. And when you have communication, there's just a sense of goodwill, of intimacy, of passion. When you lose your ability to communicate, it really is game, set, and match because, you know, we share our needs through communicating. We resolve conflict through communicating. We communicate about the kids. We communicate about money, about so many things. But when communication breaks down, you can't do that. You can't process your emotions. You can't process your love in intimacy. And all bad things happen when communication breaks down. And this is very, very common. When my wife and I got married over 40 years ago, we were already having communication problems before we got married. We dated for 3 years, high school and college, and then we got married, and we had been having really escalating fights even before we got married, but we got married kind of with the hope that somehow marriage would improve it. It didn't, it got worse. And we fought and fought, and the bad thing about our fights were that they were becoming more intense. The yelling was more intense, you know, just the anger. And we both would look at each other in those fights and say this, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? Why don't you get it? What's wrong with you? And I felt when we had those fights is, when are you going to get it? When are you going to get the memo? You're married to Mr. Wonderful. What's your problem? You know, and that's not the way she saw it. But I really thought there's something wrong with her. She just doesn't get it. Well, after 44 years of marriage, I'm telling you, we communicate. We rarely have an argument, and I'm being honest. I'm not saying we don't get on each other's nerves some, but we just have a good marriage, and we don't fight. We can communicate about anything that happens in our relationship, and I want to tell you the secret, and it's not complicated, because if I can do it, anybody can do it. We hear through our deepest needs. One of the most important things about communication is tone. If the tone of your communication isn't right, it's not going to be successful. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. So we're talking about strengths. Alan Kelsey and I wrote Strength-Based Marriage to help people understand their differences because it transforms your relationship because you're different. You're different by God's design. But one of the most basic differences that we have is just our deepest needs. Men and women are completely different. Our four major needs are completely different. And a woman's deepest needs are security, number one, open and honest communication, number two, soft non-sexual affection, number three, and leadership, number four. She doesn't want to be dominated, but she wants her husband to be the loving initiator of the well-being of their relationship, the kids, the home, everything like that. A man's deepest needs are respect is number one, number two is sex, number three is being friends with his wife, and number four is domestic support, not the wife doing all the work, but he's an equal in the work, but she is domestically centered and she turns the house into a home. So those are our four major needs. Let me go to our mega needs, because with men and women, we both have mega needs and we hear through these mega needs. Okay. So if you're going to successfully communicate with your husband or your wife, you have got to encrypt the tone of what you're saying to match their need. Okay. Or you're not going to be successful. Okay. Let me give you an example of this. So women, their number one need is security. What do I mean by security? Women want to know that their needs are going to be met by a sacrificial, sensitive man that is tuned into them. And that makes them feel secure. What makes a woman feel insecure is to feel that her husband is insensitive and detached, and that he's not really paying attention to her. See, romance means you're on my heart. The significance of romance to a woman is you're thinking about me when you don't have to. I'm on your heart. That's why you're sending me flowers. That's why you're writing me cards. That's why you're being so sweet and doing things that I'm not asking you to do. And that really, really meets the need that she has to feel secure. Well, my wife and I got married and we weren't great communicators, and I played golf all the time. And she didn't like it. I was not attentive to her. I was not attentive to our young daughter. And when I would come home from playing golf, I was tired, and I wanted her to meet my needs energetically, but I was not meeting her needs. And so she would come up to me and object, and she'd say, "Jimmy, could you please come home and not play golf so much?" Because I was a golf addict, and it was wrong. But I didn't see it that way at that time. And I would say this to her: "Hey, get off my back. I work hard, and this is how I relax. So stop talking to me about it, okay?" Well, so remember, her number one need is security. That's her mega need. That's how she hears. I am flying in the face. In that comment, the tone of my voice is saying to her, "You don't matter to me as much as golf and my friends. You're not important enough to me to come off the golf course and be home, period. So what's your problem?" Well, the problem is I just wounded her in the most sensitive area of her life where she needs a sacrificial, sensitive husband. The Bible tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He sacrificed his life for her. That's what women want. See, here's how you communicate to a woman. And because I know I did it wrong, now I do it right. It makes all the difference. Tone. "I don't want you to go play golf." "Well, you're more important to me than golf. What is it that you need for me to do?" My tone is kind. My words are, "You're more important to me than golf." She needs to know. Your wife needs to know that she's number one. She needs to know that you will sacrifice. Remember, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He sacrificed. She needs to know that you'll sacrifice other things for her, and that she comes first, and that she's on your heart, and that she doesn't have to nag or beg to get your attention, and that she's not resentful of work or friends or anything like that. "Baby, you come first. I'll change jobs. I'll change friends, but I won't change you. You come first." She's at peace. And now that you're encrypting your communication with her mega need, she's all good. She's all good. I mean, it's going to be a good day. I can just tell you that right now. Well, let me talk about men for just a minute. See, our mega need is respect. We're not like women. We don't have that same need for security. We need respect. And so respect means you believe in me and you think I'm a good man. And that's so important. Now, listen to me. A big, strong man is as sensitive in his ego as a woman is physically. And a big, strong man can be very wounded by a look or a word that he interprets as disrespect. So Karen and I got married, and I was not a good communicator, and I did not treat her well. And I put golf and other things before her, and she would come at me. And when she would come at me, I interpreted what she was saying as disrespectful. And she would say, "You know, what's wrong with you? You're not coming home. You're not taking care of us." Well, the way I interpreted that was, "You don't respect me." Now, listen, a man gravitates to the place he gets the most respect. And because it's so wounding to us to be disrespected, we stay away from places we feel like we might be disrespected. Guess why I played golf? I was a good golfer. And my friends knew I was a good golfer. And among my friends, I was respected until I came home. And when I came home and Karen would talk to me that way, here's what I said to her. The way you say something to me is as important to me as what you're saying. And I don't like the way you talk to me. And she would say, then come home. And I would say, no, I'm going to play golf. And we would get those fights, those knockdown, drag-out fights back then. It's not that way anymore. I still play golf. Golf is of the Lord. But if Karen says to me, hey, Jimmy, I need you to stay home today and be with me. I need you to say no to this, to be with me. There's not even a conversation. Absolutely. What do you need? I'm on your side, Karen. Everything else is secondary. I don't have a friend. I don't have an interest. I don't have anything at work that comes before you. And listen, to my hurt, your needs will be met, even if mine aren't. Anything you're saying to me, you're not a burden to me to love. I love loving you. I love taking care of you. And you'll never have to say it twice. You're on my heart. You're the love of my life. Well, she's in heaven. We don't fight. We can communicate about anything. Then she comes to me and she's talking to me and she says, honey, can I say something to you? And I say, sure. And she has a complaint. She has something to say. And she says it in a manner that I know that she believes in me and she respects me. I can hear. I can hear. When you're not speaking your spouse's language, you're jamming them. You're jamming them. It's like trying to hear a frequency, but there's a jamming noise that's coming into that frequency. So it's just very difficult. It doesn't mean I can't hear you. It just means it's so hard when you're talking like that, when your tone is like that. Let me say something about your children. You'll never influence your boys without respecting them because they're just little men. You'll never influence your little girls without making them feel secure because they're just little women. So when you go to a little girl, your daughter, and you make her feel as though, Dad, that you're not there for her and that she doesn't matter, you're wounding her spirit. When you go to your sons, Mom, and you're speaking to your sons disrespectfully, even though they may deserve it. I mean, they're, you know, may not be doing the right thing, obviously. You wound their spirit, and they close their hearts. See, the issue about speaking each other's language is we open our hearts. You're my friend. You're not my enemy. I trust you. So I'm going to let you into the Holy of Holies because you make me feel secure and you respect me. That's the difference. That's one of the biggest differences in our marriage today versus over 40 years ago when we were on the brink of divorce. We hear through our deepest needs, and we must encrypt the tone of what we're saying accordingly.
TBN wants you to discover the truths and principles found in strengths-based marriage, and you will begin to see your relationship with your spouse in a whole new way. Call or go online to request this powerful collection today with your gift of $120 or more, and as our thank you for supporting TBN, we will rush these incredible resources to you today. Call 800-626-7454 or visit tbn.org/strongmarriage.
If you're just tuning in, welcome to Strengths-Based Marriage. We have a guest couple with us today. Let's have a look at how their strengths influence their marriage.
Today's couple is Sergio and Georgina De La Mora from San Diego, California. Sergio's top five strengths are futuristic, strategic, self-assurance, ideation, and achiever. Georgina's top five strengths are positivity, empathy, includer, maximizer, and belief.
I'm so glad to be able to introduce to you Sergio and Georgina. Thank you so much, you guys, for joining us on the program today. Why don't, for the benefit of our audience, you guys just talk a minute about who you are and what you're doing these days.
Well, my wife, Georgina, and I, we pastor in San Diego Cornerstone Church.
Yes, sir.
And we have six girls ranging from 30 to 20 to 19 to 10 years old. And three of them are married. And we're very excited because We have grandkids.
That's right. And we have two in university, Point Loma University, and we have one in elementary school.
You do not look old enough to be having grandkids.
Yeah.
That is for sure. Wow.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Our grandkids are not at Point Loma Nazarene University.
Right. Okay. No, it's our two
We have two
daughters.
I see.
We have two grandsons and a granddaughter.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Well, we have a little relationship. We know each other somewhat, and so I'm really grateful for our ongoing communication. So, Georgina, I wanted to get started with you because when I look at the list of strengths that you have, I'm just going to read them off real fast. So you lead off with positivity, and you're just so enthusiastic about life. Look at life kind of with a glass half full, which is wonderful. You have empathy, which means you feel the way other people feel intuitively, and I don't understand that because I don't have it. You have includer, which means that you just love to widen the circle. You just love to get other people involved. Maximizer, you're a wonderful polisher of things that are already in motion. And as your final strength there is belief, just that you have some very strong, founded, bedrock kind of ideas about life, and they kind of navigate, they help you navigate all of life. But when I look at all of those together, 60% of your strengths have this relationship building component. Mm-hmm. And so the big lens that you approach life with is this idea that you just want to get to know people, bring them around, and include them in what's going on with your family. Can you talk a little bit about why that's enjoyable for you?
You know, I think because I'm built that way and God made me that way, that just fills my heart, my spirit, when I have people around us, when I have family around us, when we get to spend time together. That kind of just fills my cup to overflow. You know, when I get to have that relationship with people and I'm serving them, I'm very hospitable, so I love opening my home and, you know, just serving the coffee, making them happy and making them feel like they're welcome in my family. And that's always a big thing for me.
So when there's a good group of people around, they're over at the house and they're all visiting and hanging out and, mm-hmm. and you're maybe cooking for them, serving them, creating, and then they leave. You're feeling good? How are you feeling in this moment?
I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted.
Why?
Well, you know, when you talked about her being the includer, for years, my wife has been telling me, honey, we need to buy another house. And we've been arguing for a while about, you know, the house we have is fine. She's like, honey, we can't even entertain people here. And so we just bought this house for the exact purpose for what you just heard. She goes, I want to bring people over. So now we have, every week we have people coming over.
So this relationship building aspect of your life is so broad, it's now had influence on your home purchase decision.
Yeah, on our pocketbook.
It's just fascinating to me how we feel like this is just a normal decision. This is what feels right to me. Right. We have no idea that behind all of those decision making is your strength, and they're kind of leaning into your decision making, and it's causing you to make one selection over another. Your selection on the home you purchased was influenced by her strengths to make room for her to be able to enjoy that particular way she's built.
Yeah. So crazy? Influencer should also be one of her strengths.
Sergio, so you lead with futuristic, you love tomorrow, all the solution to every problem that exists lives out there. Strategic, you love to begin with the end in mind. You have self-assurance, which means you're very confident about what you believe and think. You have ideation, which is great to serve your futuristic, which means you've got a lot of ideas about how tomorrow can be better. Mm-hmm. And then achiever, you just really love to get stuff done. You're out there kind of moving things along. And when I think about how all of your strengths are built together, there's 60% of them have this sort of strategic thinking kind of perspective. It's sort of where you live and feel most comfortable. And so do you see that in him at all?
Oh, for sure. I totally do see that.
What does Especially, it look like?
Oh, you know, when we have meetings, for instance, at our staff meetings, and, you know, he loves to be in a room with the staff, and he will just start popping off ideas, and he loves that.
Yeah.
And he likes to see things getting done. Like, once he pops them off to the vision,
yep.
And then he's like, okay, now we need to get these things done. Hmm. And once we see them get done, then he's like, oh, that's good. Okay, let's move on to another thing. It's like, oh, that's good. Okay, let's move on.
So what's happening with you when you're in the meeting, Sergio? You've got this group of people and you're there to tackle a problem. And you're so go from there.
Well, I just think that everything rises and falls on vision. You know, a preferred future is what I feel like I'm supposed to always set up for people. Huh. I'm always supposed to be ahead so that when I come back, there's a path for people to take. Mm. And I feel like the best contribution I can make to my family is to think about the future.
Yeah.
So when we moved to San Diego, the first thing we did, we opened up a company and we started our church I did it for the sole purpose to purchase homes for my kids so that as I go into ministry, at least I know that every one of my children have a house. Mm. So we did that. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful, and now they're enjoying that. So to me, I just feel like I just have this notion that the clock has to work for me, not against me.
Huh.
So whatever I do, if I think further enough ahead, then at least I feel I can relax knowing where this is going, as opposed to living with so much uncertainty and having people follow me that I feel like I didn't do my job correctly.
This is fascinating to me because you have so many of these strengths that are so interested in tomorrow, futuristic, ideation, strategic, all of your planning, all of your thinking, like your brain time is spent out in a space that doesn't exist yet.
Yes.
And you have very little interest or time to spend on how we got here or the past or what is already gone and what's already happened.
That's true. I have no interest in the past. So if something happens and somebody, I get hurt or something, I get over things so fast. I'm like, yeah, no problem. Let's just move on. Because see, to me, the answer is always, so for instance, I may have done something that I shouldn't have done, but the answer is, in the future, just don't do it again. Mm. Because, change behavior is the answer to bad behavior.
Yeah.
So, I can say I'm sorry and we could talk about what's happened, but I'm more interested on what's going to happen next. Because I believe that has to be one of the key elements of a leader.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to lead correctly, then I have to be in front, pioneering, thinking about what's next. And I love it. I love the challenge of it. I love the uncertainty of it. But I also,
wait. You love the uncertainty of it?
Yes.
Does that freak you out, Georgina?
Sometimes, yes.
Oh, no, it does.
But absolutely, I mean, but does.
Because he's running toward tomorrow, and it doesn't exist yet.
Absolutely.
But we've been married for 20 years. I'm kind of like, I've learned to just grab onto his coattail.
So you've learned, okay.
And just to like go with the flow.
And was it hard at first?
I mean, oh, of course. For the first several 5-10 years.
So how
but,
did
you
deal with
but
that?
But then it's like, it's just... Just running with him and just learning to flow with him. I always would say to myself, just be liquid like water. Just be liquid. Wow. Just continue just to flow and be liquid.
Yeah.
Because when you think of water and rivers, how they just kind of flow wherever the path takes them.
Yeah.
So I would always tell myself, just be liquid. Just be liquid.
Well, so what might have, if you'd have known your strengths, each of yours, back then when you were dealing with this and just learning about each other, how would that have changed the way you dealt with him or how you felt about this need to be liquid?
Well, I think understanding his strengths more and accepting them, because I think when you have an acceptance of what the other person's strengths are and you like really receive it and say, okay, well, this is why he's this way because God made him this
way. He's not trying to make me mad.
He's not trying to make me mad. He didn't like grow up into this or somebody made him like this, but that actually God made him like this.
Yeah.
And so just to have a better understanding and a better understanding of myself, knowing like, because he would try to make me like him. And I'm like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. I don't know how to be. I mean, I can catch some glimpses of who you are and try to be like you. But
does that make me a bad person?
No.
I feel like I'm a really bad person right now.
No, you shouldn't.
Okay,
it just puts it into understanding.
Yeah,
and this
does.
Is a
it
classic marriage challenge. You know, you guys grow up, you figure out how to be nice to each other the hard way.
Right.
But how different could it have been if you'd have just known that this is literally the way God set you up for success? And if you're playing that way, then you look at it as, wait, this is a blessing to me.
Right, that's what
not
I, yeah.
Not painful for me.
Definitely.
Listen, you guys have been such a great couple. Thanks so much for joining us on today's program. It really meant a lot to us.
Thank you.
I love to see stories like that. That's why we do what we do, and an example of the impact these powerful resources can have on your marriage.
Yeah, for example, maybe your number one strength is empathy and your spouse's strength is to be restorative. Being aware of that is so important because it will help you to understand how each of you think. Because while someone who is empathetic will feel what others are feeling, a restorative spouse will see a problem and try to fix it. They both want there to be resolution and understanding, peace and growth, but their perspectives are completely opposite and, if misunderstood by each other, can be cause for some really heated discussion.
But trust me, no matter what situation you're in, your marriage can thrive in every area, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And we want to help you experience that today. So request your strengths-based marriage resources with your gift and discover the principles you need to see yourself, your spouse, and your marriage in a new, amazing way.
TBN wants you to discover the truths and principles found in strengths-based marriage, and you will begin to see your relationship with your spouse in a whole new way. Call or go online to request this powerful collection today with your gift of $120 or more, and as our thank you for supporting TBN, we will rush these incredible resources to you today. Call 800-626-7454 or visit tbn.org/strongmarriage.
Isn't it encouraging to know that there are very real practical steps we can take to improve the communication between our partners and ourselves? Self-awareness and understanding are powerful assets in enhancing the quality of our marriage.
And, dare I say, our sex lives. No one is comfortable talking about it, but when you avoid looking honestly at intimacy with our partners, we put ourselves at risk for a host of problems. Who wants to settle for a less than satisfying sex life? The good news is, you don't have to. And the concepts of strengths-based marriage offer a paradigm-shifting perspective on how to please your mate and solidify your marriage bond. Have I got you intrigued? I certainly hope so, because this is one episode both you and your spouse do not want to miss. So be sure to join us next time for another hope-filled episode of Strengths-Based Marriage. We'll see you then.